Now, some of you might ask me, well, okay, that's well and good to talk about and for me doing it, but has anybody ever really done that? Dr. Quantum, come on. Has anybody really has ever really done this? Well, I know of one. There's probably many, but I know of one, and his story is worth telling. He was born in a village in South India, and his name was Venkataraman. And he later became well known and honored in India and by Westerners who knew him as Sri Ramana Maharshi. And it's often useful to look at his life because it illustrates the very points that I'm talking about. When Ramana was about 12 years old and his father died, he went to live with an uncle in the nearby city of Madurai. And this was in 1896 at the age of 16. He then left his uncle's home little after and then spent his time journeying to one of the holy sites in the south of India, which is known as Arunachala. It's a sacred mountain in the south of India. And he heard of this mountain briefly when he was living with his uncle and one of his visiting elderly relatives happened to mention it in his passing. Merely hearing the name Arunachala had a magical effect on the boy, generating an eternal excitement in which he himself could not really totally understand. A few months after hearing about Arunachala, and before he departed for the place, Ramana had an experience that changed his life completely. He was seated in his bedroom on the second floor of his uncle's house, and he was suddenly overwhelmed with fear of death, and he became fully convinced that death was imminent. This inexplicable feeling persisted, even though he was as healthy as any normal young, around 16-year-old could be. He was shaking with fear, and he began to ponder the significance of his death. What does it mean to die? Since he was alone in the room at that time, he decided to act out. Now, this is pretty brave. He decided to act out his own death and look deeply into what it meant. So he laid down on the floor with his arms stiffly at his sides. He held his breath and he said to himself, "Now death has come, but what does it mean? What is it that is dying?" The body dies and it is carried off to the cremation ground and reduced to ashes. But with the death of the body, am I dead? Am I just the body? This body is now silent and inert, but I feel the full force of my personality, and even the voice of the I within me seems to be apart from my body. So I am the spirit transcending the body. The body dies, but the spirit that transcends it cannot be touched by death. This means that I am the deathless spirit. Here we have a young man tipping his toe into the river of time, touching it. He's beginning to sense. He started on his journey to go deeper into that state, which is really what time travel is all about. How should we interpret this? What does it mean to us? Well, we could argue that the kid was just full with imagination. He was just an imaginative kid and could fantasize and produce sensations of fear and imagine that he was going to die. And what's the big deal? However, from all later accounts, even though the boy was healthy, he was actually near death at that moment. I guess people had come into the room afterwards and they saw he was really dying. Wow. Can his mind produce that state? I want to tell you something, folks. In dealing with death of loved ones around me, I've seen people do it. You can actually will your mind into the state where you can create the death of your body. It may not happen at the instant you start doing it, but if you practice it, not even very long, you can start dying. So this is not something you want to screw around with. It's something very real. So the awareness of his impending death had taken full possession of him, not merely as an idea, but at a deeper level that opened up his own spiritual self-awareness. he suddenly became a spirit and knew himself as that, no longer thinking of himself as just merely the body that had been called at that time Venkataraman. It was just a name. This self-realization happened instantaneously to him. It was complete, and mind you, once he had it, he couldn't go back. Once you get what I'm getting at here, you can't go back. You wouldn't want to if you could. His ego was lost in a flood of pure self-awareness, and soon after this experience, he left his uncle's home and he flew, or he ran, or he got on a train, or however he got there, he went to Arancala, to the holy mountain. And when he arrived on the mountain, he got rid of everything he had, his clothes, his money, his food, and he abandoned himself to his new awareness and thought of himself as without form, without space, without time, and at the same time, in the same space, he was everything at once. Living in the natural surroundings of the mountain, he dwelled in a cave, according to legend, or according to story, and the cave was on the slope of this mountain. He became oblivious of the world, his immediate environment, even his body. He was so absorbed in his quest that he didn't feel insects gnawing at his limbs, nor was he aware of the greater lengths to which his hair and nails grew. For 2 or 3 years, he remained in the state, living on whatever people gave him to eat. And in India, you know, it's not like our homeless states people here. In India, a holy person does not try to support himself. He's usually supported by the people who see him. So even though he gradually returned after a while to normal appearance and bodily health, his mind remained fixed on his true nature, his spiritual nature, his floating mind, his time river nature. The Indian philosophers would call him self-realized, a fact which is obvious to anybody who came in contact with him. People immediately felt his spiritual radiance and would rather gather around him than just not. And even though he rarely spoke to them, just being there was enough for them to get a hit. Soon he was given the name Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharshi. Bhagavan means Lord. Sri is a respectful term of address, something like Sir in the title of a knight. Ramana is a contraction of his name Venkataraman, and Maharshi means great seer, literally Maharishi, which is great and Rishi in Sanskrit. He is also known as the sage of Arancala. Ramana explained to anybody who came into his environment that it was the mind that was vast, not the universe, not the world. It is the knower that is great, not that which is known. And the seer is greater than the seen. That which is known is contained within the knower, and that which is seen is contained within the seer. The vast expanse of the sky isn't out there. It's in the mind, because the mind is everywhere and there is nothing outside of it. From Maharishi's thoughts, we learn that the forms and the space that surrounds them appear only because of this ego sense. As many spiritual leaders before Ramana and many after him affirm, the primary ignorance out of which all external things appear to us is this ego sense. And going beyond this becomes a difficult task. You need to accept the role of primary ignorance of it and its limitation, and see how the world of your own ignorant mind, which by ignorant, I don't mean you're stupid. You're simply ignoring your own time river. That's what ignorant really means. You're ignoring what's real. That when you ignore what's real and set in motion a limited way, then fear, you know, fluctuation number 4, that blackness, begins to connect to your belief that you are confined by space and time. And this sage deliberately described the steps for going beyond this ego sense, which means going beyond space and time. And by doing so, learn how to time travel. So here's your first link into this. One needs to direct your thoughts in the following manner. So listen to what Ramana Maharshi said. He said, distracted as we are by various thoughts, if we would simply, continually, contemplate the self, spelled with a big capital S, which is itself, spelled with a big capital I, God with a big G, this single thought would in due course replace all distraction. All the fluctuations would disappear, and all the distractions would just disappear like a rabbit going into the rabbit hole. This pure consciousness that alone would be the God essence. This is what is meant by liberation. And to be constantly centered on one's own perfect pure self is the acme, the achievement of basically yoga, wisdom, and all other forms of spiritual practice. Even though the mind will wander restlessly, involved in all kinds of external matters, and is forgetful of its own self, one should remain in alert and remember, the body is not I.